Hello, welcome back to the Scry Syndrome podcast. Hope you're well. Once again, it's time to talk about TV slash film slash whatever we want to talk about. I'm your host, Ben Gilman. I hope you're well, and I hope you survived all the rain that April has brought. It's been a bit of a weird month so far. As always, I'm joined by my two of my co-hosts of the three. Warning, Tara Chloe is not here. Time differences, unfortunately, this week. But she'll be back hopefully soon. I am joined by, obviously, at least two co-hosts. So I'm going to introduce you to the first one. First of all, my first co-host, she's definitely pumped, so happy that Baby Reindeer is a stunning documentary about how Scottish people act living in London. It's Helen Watkins. It's a good one.
We do be like that. It's very true. We do be like that.
I was going to go for the one where it says, this is how you met your husband, but I didn't want to be that crass because it's heavy themes and you're a very much nicer person. So I thought that would be hilarious because you're an angel sometimes.
Just slightly less mentally unwell, I think.
Oh, I should have gone for that one. That would have been funnier.
Yeah.
See, now I wish I'd done that now. That would have been much funnier. Anyway, I'm not re-recording it because that reaction would now be forced. I'm also joined by the man whose bedroom action lasts shorter than a Goldberg squash match. It's Troy Salmon.
What the hell? You son of a gun.
You son of a god. 10-second man.
Doing well, guys. I'm doing well. Ben. You're sniffing guy. How you doing, guys? You okay?
I'm peppy.
I'm doing good.
You're pretty happy, man. I'm not going to lie. I feel good. It's a bit weird to not be recording on our usual day. We might have to do this again next week because I'm not going to be here. And obviously, I'm the one that's got the account to log in because it's my personal email into Spotify. So we need to do it midweek so that I can then upload it. So you can give it to me early, upload it. Yeah, it's insane. But anyway, I am good. I am getting a bit annoyed, though, that there's still no release date for Inside Number 9. Give it to me. Just give it to me. I want it.
Steve Pemberton's too busy on Taskmaster right now.
I don't think he recorded it. What are you doing? Just drop me a trailer. Come on.
Do you know what? He's doing well on Taskmaster. Like, I thought he was going to be one of them people that are too clever for it. Do you know what I mean? Like Victoria Corrin Mitchell, who was like, yeah, you're funny, but you're too clever for this. You're thinking too much. You need to do is think less. But he's actually got it right. He's walking a nice line there.
You know what? I watched a this is something very quickly, it's 45 minutes. I watched something on Netflix from Channel 4 where you remember the farmer that shot the people invading his farm?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Watched that. Don't know the name of it. Steve Pemberton was in that. Very good, as always. But Reese Shearsmith, I've just realized one of the running jokes that they have is that the 12 Days of Christine is not that good, and I think it's an ongoing running joke between them and the audience, because obviously it's one of the best episodes of Inside Number 9 of all time, and he says it's shit. I love that. I love Smith. I think it's a joke.
Go on, sorry.
They always seem to bring it out at like BAFTA or when they're celebrating the series or Comic Con. It's always quite funny to see that because he's always bringing it up.
There was one time my mum came to stay with me, and I was just doing Inside Number 9 rewatch on in the background, and it was 12 Days of Christine. And she's like, "What's this you're watching?" I was like, "Oh, it's just this program. Everything's weird. Everything's got a twist in it." And then when 12 Days of Christine finished, she just turned and looked at me. She had tears streaming down her face. She went, "What are you doing to me?"
I'm going back home. I'm not staying at your house. I gave her a northern accent. I can't do a Scottish accent, so I thought I'd go Yorkshire.
Good. She's not Scottish, no. So, you know, that works.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Wow, I finally got an accent right. Jesus Christ. Mm. Is your mum Northern?
Yeah.
I'm going to end this podcast on a high because it's all downhill from here.
Yeah, you're not gonna do better than that. Yeah, she's from the North.
Inside Number 9, I now guess I know your daddy's accent, unless you're adopted.
No, my dad is Scottish, yeah.
There we go.
My mum is from the north.
Lovely. So when that does finish, we can finally do that goddamn Inside Number 9 special that we've been talking about since we did this first episode 4 years ago now. Jesus.
Okay.
Before I even knew who had it, before we became friends, Helen.
Seems like a long time. I know. Those dark days of your life.
Yes, just before COVID happened. Lovely days. Anyway, so I think we should talk about the kitchen first.
Okay.
Because we did say we were going to try and watch something once a week that we can all watch on Netflix, because it's the one thing that all three or four of us have.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it. I think it's set in Brixton. I've seen a street. Now, I work in Brixton. I know there's a street in this film where he goes in to do the flat thing with a very pissy little computer voice. I mean, that's the problem with computers. You can't slap them. You can't give them a slap.
Yeah.
but that road, I know that road. They didn't really give me the CGI on this, but I can tell that road is Brixton. It's a road that I go down. I always love seeing Brixton on TV because I go, I know.
It's a bit all over. There was a lot of Wembley in there, the new flats around Wembley. There was a lot of East London in there, and there was bits of Paris as well.
East was all over that place.
Yeah, but it was
that
mostly
famous
East.
Part of London, Paris, that Paris section.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you think of it?
I thought it was really good.
See, I don't think it knew what it was. I think they tried to cross genres and it became a little bit of none of the things. So
it was very anticlimactic.
It didn't really have an ending, but like what I found was like they tried to go for the sci-fi dystopia thing, but also tried to make it like a bit of an urban thriller. Like
it doesn't explain.
It didn't do any of those things particularly well.
But it didn't do particularly well. I thought it was fine, but it didn't. The acting was fantastic. First of all, I thought the acting is really good. Like all the actors did great in it.
Well, yeah.
But I have loads of questions. How do we get here? Why are the police kicking the shit out of everybody? What are the rules? It's like it doesn't explain anything. And also, like, you think there's a conflict between the kid and the man and the gang, and they never cross over really. There's and the girlfriend just disappears. I mean, it's just like loads of stuff just happens, man. It's just
rule number one in dystopia is you've got to set your world, right? You've got to set the rules of your world. And I don't think they did. Like, I don't think they really let us know what was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it felt like they were going for Thatcher versus the miners, and it just kind of felt a little bit.
I just think they wanted it to look good. Like, I think, and it did look good. It looked amazing. Like, shitty parts of London looked amazing, but I didn't find it cohesive. Like, I didn't understand it. I didn't know what it was trying to be. Like, it could have been set now instead of in the future. Like,
yeah.
And it's CGI, like, I mean, I think it said something about the housing market. Like, he couldn't keep his son because he couldn't move into his new place. Like, he couldn't move up in the world with his old life holding him back. And I was like, if you're going to do metaphors, like, just try at least make them a little bit subtle. Like, it was a bit like, you literally can't move forward because of your son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Visual solid, story flimsy. So I'd say.
Yeah. It looked great, it looked brilliant. Ian Wright was good in it.
Oh yeah, actually, to Ian Wright, when I figured it was Ian Wright, when I saw it was Ian Wright, I'm like, wow, this guy could act. This is amazing acting from Ian Wright, because I didn't read any reviews, I didn't even know he was in it. I like, didn't even notice his voice at first, and it was like, oh my god, it's Ian Wright. Wow. Then we got battered because he's an Arsenal scumbag, so I laughed even harder at that. That's his first bastard. No, I mean, no, I like Ian Wright, even as a Spurs fan. I've always liked him. He's a very nice guy. So, kudos to him. He did a great job acting.
It just annoys me as well, though, when you're going to have something that's set in London, like, at least try and make it cohesive in London. Like, don't walk out of your office at Wembley and walk into the Barbican.
Because if you live in London, you know that's hilarious.
Those things are not close together.
No, but if you live in London, if you're a Londoner, you laugh at shit like this because you know that's bullshit. Sherlock does this a lot. It tries to transport him the other way of London about 5 seconds. You're like, no, that doesn't work like that.
Yeah. Do you know what film set in London has impeccable London geography, and I think it's because of the director. Last Night in Soho.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that was.
There is not a wrong turn in that film. Everything is where it's supposed to be.
Yeah,
and I think you know where they're going as well. Yeah, exactly, I think that's because Edgar Wright's a bit of a stickler for that stuff.
And that's why I love Edgar Wright.
That's why we love Edgar Wright. Yeah.
I thought that the guy. No, I've never watched Top Boy because I think Top Boy is just really depressing and it's a bit boring because it's just people being dickheads. But the main actor, I think I want to see him in more stuff outside of like more stuff like this. I will never watch Top Boy because Top Boy, there's nobody that I can really get behind. So
he surprised me actually. He did.
Yeah, he's good. He's really good at subtle stuff. I was really impressed by him actually. And I can see why he's got BAFTA nominated for Top Boy. I've never doubted the acting. I just cannot find a character in Top Boy that makes me want to watch it. They're all arseholes in that show. And the thing is, they're all clearly good actors in other stuff. I've seen all those actors in other stuff, and they're really good. They're regularly getting BAFTA nominated for that show.
Mm.
But I will try again one day to watch Top Boy. It's very difficult when they're all assholes and there's no redeeming characters in that to watch it. It's just,
you need a hero, don't you?
Yeah, but anyway, I might try it again one day. It's like Game of Thrones. I keep coming back to it, trying it, and I'm just like, no. Anyway, so I'm glad I watched it. I don't know why it's getting four stars out of five in magazines. Like I don't, Empire and Total Film and SFX will spunk their panties about it.
I honestly think like people get excited when a film doesn't make sense because then they think it must be art. Pisses me off.
Yeah.
Really made me think. Do I go to the cinema to think? I don't think so.
Then what? They use that one all the time.
It's like, do I sit on my couch?
Stop pretending you like thinking. Nobody likes thinking.
It feels like they dumbed it down for Netflix. Because like when you're on your couch, yeah, like you haven't like the most of you think, no, you're just on your couch. Who gives a shit if this is good?
That's the thing. Like most of the time, when things don't make sense, they're really dumb.
Yeah.
Like don't get me wrong. I love Twin Peaks. Like anything to do with Twin Peaks, I'm utterly obsessed with it. But let's not pretend it makes sense. The whole point of it doesn't make sense.
Twin Peaks. Oh my gosh.
You're supposed to be perpetually baffled.
If you know what's going on in Twin Peaks, you're talking shit.
The only time my husband has ever been angry with me is when they were showing Firework with me at this independent cinema in East London. I was like, oh my god, they're showing Firework, and he got me tickets for my birthday and came with me. And when we walked out, he was like, what the fuck was that? And I was like, babe, did you not get it? Like, you know,
you don't understand.
Yeah, that's Laura, and this is the last few days, and that's like that guy was an entity that came into her father's body, and he was like, no, it doesn't make sense. This is not what happened. It was just 3 hours of nothing, and then David Bowie in a corridor. And I was like, yeah, but that bit's
oh my god.
I love that film so much. I will not have any Firework with me slander. But if you don't know Twin Peaks and if you're not versed in the universe, I can imagine you would be very angry at having to spend 3 hours watching that.
Yeah, it's kind of sounds like a fan film that like you need to have watched it to kind of get it.
Yeah. Get it in the lore, be deep in that.
Yeah, it's a prequel. Like it's a prequel to the TV series. So you have to kind of know the TV series for it to make sense.
So I'm going to just go, I've got very British stuff here today, actually. I've been for a bit of a British run of stuff, so bear with me. I didn't get to The Gentleman.
The Gentleman.
I watched Dinosaur on the BBC iPlayer, which is it's a comedy on the BBC about an autistic Scottish woman. He lives in Glasgow.
Oh, that's Ashley's story, isn't it? Yeah,
it's supposed to be really good. It's really subtle.
I'm going to watch that.
Yeah, go watch it. I watched the first episode, and I think it's one of the most realistic portrayals of autism, but they're not. She's very smart, and she can adapt already in the first episode really well. She doesn't have big... You know how they do it in autism in TV? They do it, they go, oh, like screaming, shouting. She doesn't do it. She doesn't even get upset. She's just like, okay. And then she thinks about it, but she's like really intelligent and highly clever like we are, Helen. And it's good. She does try new things, but they don't go on about it. It's just they mention she's autistic and then you kind of understand, right, it's clever writing. She's got a lovely relationship with her sister. I'm not going to go too much into it because I don't want to spoil the first episode or through her sister's boyfriend is very fucking punchable. But he's trying too hard. You know, that type of autistic optimistic. I can't say.
Optimistic.
That cunting word. That one. That is very punchable. Episode one, he's done my tits in, but he's meant to be like that. So yeah, go watch.
My favorite portrayal of autism this week was Fern Brady on Stand Up to Cancer Bake Off getting annoyed if anybody talked to her about anything other than baking.
I love it.
It was brilliant. She was like, so Fern, how you getting on? Don't talk to me.
Don't talk to me. I'm
trying to bake.
But yeah, go watch it. I think we should talk about it next week when we've watched it. I intend to watch it all.
Yeah,
I watched one episode. I did watch the second season of Avoidance from Ranganathan. Ranganathan.
Very good.
Okay. So do you remember the Ross-Rachel problem? Like any romance, I call it the Ross-Rachel problem now.
Okay.
Right.
Which is like, they had this problem in Sex Education, Otis and Maeve. Like, will they, won't they? It gets really fucking annoying when they just cannot separate from each other. It does piss me off when you got this one romance that just goes between. Obviously, but the Irish lady, oh God, Bea something. Bea?
Ashlyn B.
Yeah, she's in it. So she's in this show as a regular now. And obviously the blonde lady the Romesh's sister in the show, his partner is pregnant now. So there's a great subplot where the blonde one's pregnant, obviously, and she's not doing any work. And the partner is trying to take a job, but she's saying, oh, I'm going to be here all the time for you. Well, you're pregnant, but she's taking a job. And actually the blonde one's realized, oh, I got to do stuff myself. So there's a lot of growth, and she's very funny because she's quite an angry character. And I think she's the best character in it still. She was in the first season. It's just her anger to everything. What she's thinking is what the audience is thinking to any situation in the show. And I love a character that can just spell it out. It's well written. I liked it. They twist a few things around. They kind of could do a third season if they wanted.
Okay.
I was really happy with it. I thought it was good again. Everybody is still really funny. And Neville Longbottom from Harry Potter turns up.
Oh, that's fun.
I noticed him immediately. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's Neville Longbottom, because of how he talks. He's very distinct. He hasn't lost it. And he's now got a massive six-pack, which he's doing tools in the house, so he's always got to show up his six-pack. And he does some awful chairs. And I went, that's the guy in the films that got fucked over in character development. So I'm glad that he got in here, because in the books I've heard he's much more built up. Whereas in the films, he's a joke and he just cuts the snake's head off at the end in the last film. You're like, what? Where's that come from? Yeah, good to see him getting work.
No,
he's really got good comedy chops, which I'm surprised by, to be fair, because I don't really see him much acting. I also watched One Day, which is the...
Oh, God. My heart.
Have you watched this?
I have watched it, yeah. I've read the book and I've seen the film. I loved it. It was so good.
It's
really
called...
Liked it.
So, Troy, this is called Cop Block the Show, because they don't get the... It's two people that meet in Oxford in 1988.
Edinburgh.
87. Edinburgh, thank you. And...
The Oxford of the North.
Every year... We catch up with them in an episode, two people meet, and they don't. And this is why I respect the woman. She decides against sleeping with him on the first night, and then begins a very slow. And I'm halfway through, and they kind of keep reconnecting every year. And then they, so far, they've not really. They're friends. He wants to fuck her, and she's kind of like, not really at the moment, mate. So I'm just kind of like, it's have interesting. You, it's different. It's a different way of doing things.
Have you seen the film or read the book?
I haven't. Okay. I'm only watching the show.
Anybody who's read the book or has seen the film is waiting for you to finish it now.
Damn.
Don't like the ending to that. One of them gets hit by a train. I can't wait for this. No, I enjoy it. It's just weird. It's a weird way to do a romantic comedy to stretch it out. Where they could have fucked. There's no reason they couldn't have fucked, but they didn't fuck in the first episode. It's a very interesting hold. And it's nice to see a woman character just go, nah, mate, we can be mates. I like that. A bit of agency. I love her flatmate. I love everybody in it. I'm enjoying it. I'm just... Yeah, it's just like friends that I like that could at any point just, but they don't fuck. It's interesting, and they come back every year and they still want
to. Oh, trailer for it! I was like, this is.
Yeah, they meet on the same day. It catches up with them on the same day every year from like 1988 onwards. The fashion in it was brilliant. And actually, a little tidbit for you, Ben: the costume store in the production office was in our West London office. So I saw all the costumes every day when I came into work.
They were filming in our office?
Not filming, no, they had the production office there. Yeah. So all the props and the costumes were there.
What, in our work?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm going to move to that office, but Adam's boring. No, I'm just, so the guy is kind of like a blonde Tory.
He's a tool, yeah. He's a bit of a dick.
But not as bad as I've seen in other stuff, to be fair.
And she's a precious goddess that is deserves the world.
And I respect her for not giving in easily. And I think he's going to have to show her I'm not a dick anymore for it to happen. That's when it will happen. Yeah, that would be the bit. I think we're waiting on. I'm guessing he's got to stop being a prick. And then she will finally, once she's changed, I think then she will give him, I think he will, the ending will be he'll bang her, then we go, ha-ha, I lied and walked off. And he high-fived all of his friends and gone, 8 years, I nailed it.
I am saying nothing. I'm saying nothing.
There is Spunk all over the door because he's a Tory-looking bastard, and Spunk all over her front door and he's jizz and walk off. They were trying to sleep with the mum. Anyway, so I also watched My Undead Yokai Girlfriend on Amazon.
Okay. Drawing a complete blank, but that's fine, that's usual.
One non-British show that I've watched this week. Basically, a guy brings he's a nerd, obviously, because he can't get a girl. This is what Troy would do. I'm surprised she hasn't tried this yet. Summoning a demon from the other world. She just wants to have sex with him.
I'll never do that ever. But
this girl wants to have sex with you straight away, which is for a guy that has never had sex before quite alarming. It's quite funny. It's done for a joke. It's done in a comedy way. Never too serious. But it is quite funny in the first episode because he says no, and then she's like, all right then, I'm gonna go have sex with your friend. So like it's so hilariously. Then he has to kind of keep, I'll have sex with you, I'm not gonna have sex with you. So it's to form a bond so that she can cut the five heads off people that banned her family back in the samurai period. And so it's kind of a bit uneven and they go hard for a season two. Now we've spoken about this. Do not leave too many plot holes. You can always try and do it where you can come back to it, but don't leave any unanswered mystery people coming out of the shadows at the end of the last episode. And then undo it all and then bring up all these questions that weren't needed to be asked beforehand. It's annoying. And then when you don't get a second season, you're like a twat. Don't do it. Get your second season, then introduce them in the first episode before the season. That, why is this so hard? Why? Why is this so hard to do?
I don't know, man. I think they're going to get too ahead of themselves. Huh? That's what
it's yeah, people are optimists.
First episode of the next season, you can then crack open these new ideas and go, ooh, because it will drive the second season.
See, I think you should write complete seasons, and if there's a second season, there's a second season. Yeah. That, like, normalize ending things when they're finished.
Too many shows. House of Ninjas did this on Netflix a couple of months ago, and I got annoyed then because it didn't need to do that. Because Japanese shows don't normally get a second season. It's not really a Japanese thing to get a second season of stuff. And it's very dangerous to play that game in the West as well. And I don't know if it will get a second season because nobody talked about this show. Amazon originals don't really, outside of Fallout, which I watched the first episode of, don't really get much chance of a renewal. And I'm worried because of that. I think they can get away with it, but I it's going to be like Lockwood again. It's going to be like, I could name loads of shows that tried to reach for a second season.
Paper Girls.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was a great one, yeah. Very,
Marianne, the French horror thing that we spoke about, that's a great show.
League of Their Own.
Yeah, I mean, I could go on forever. So I enjoyed it. I really like the fact also, there's something you don't normally see. There's a half-black, half-Japanese, half-American, half-Japanese guy. A Japanese guy, but he's mixed race. Now, this is something you don't normally see. He's best friends with a guy because he stood up for him and he treated him normal because he's Japanese, but he's half black. So half, he looks a bit different to the other kids, but his best friend stuck up for him and he's like a loyal friend. It's really nice to see that in Japanese TV because you don't normally deal with mixed race Japanese kids who have a different parent.
That's good.
And they are Japanese, but they sometimes don't get recognized as Japanese because of the skin color. And I think that was really nice to see them look at that. Don't normally see that social commentary in Japanese television. So I thought, cool. And it made me like them as friends more because it's like a real deep bond. And I kind of like that when you go that little bit of backstory. You put that in there and you can see where they're friends. And and there are great bits where the yokai is trying to fit in with TikTok and everything. And he's trying to make a normal to stop chopping heads off. It's worth a watch.
Oh my god! Oh, check out.
It's not bad. It's not terrible. I've seen better, but I thought, you know what? You weren't going too serious, and the CGI is really, really good. So I guess then we're going to have to round up to Baby Reindeer.
We've all watched Baby Reindeer. Let's have a support group.
Whew. I needed counselling afterwards because I watched it in a day. Don't watch it in a day.
I watched it in a day.
That's what I've done. That's what I did. That's what I did today.
Space it. Because episode 4 is the biggest fucking clothesline I've had in a while of a slap of an episode to explain the backstory of why he's so damaged. And
do you know what, though? I knew I was in trouble when they were like, this episode has a warning for...
Yeah,
I was like, hang on, this has been pretty grim already. How much darker can it get that it has to have a specific warning for this episode when the whole thing is dark as fuck?
So who's the guy that's done this?
Richard Gadd.
So this guy has done a play. This is based on his life, and I will give him so much respect for going through this all again on camera. To be in this, to relive this in the same place as it happened. It's insane.
He's from my neck of the woods as well.
So big ups to him. I think it's like you're doing your therapy in front of the world, basically. It's an interesting situation already because he did nothing wrong. He offered a nice cup of tea to a woman that looked like she had the shittest day ever in his pub, and he didn't do anything to get that attention. And I feel... still trying to help her, and it is a very fascinating relationship that these two have. Basically, a woman stalking a man.
Yeah.
Which you don't always see. And it is funny still. I don't know how it's still hilariously funny. And I'm fascinated by how they work together than their enemies. So I love the fact he has a trans girlfriend. And it's just like he's such an interesting person. Because you really go through his thought process and he doesn't come out really bad at this. He's just, how would you deal with a situation like this?
I think he's just, it's about how trauma makes you an absolute beacon to damaged people. Like, you are a never-ending pit of people-pleasing and wanting everybody to love you and treat you nicely and be kind to you. And then there's people that see that and are like, right, I'm having a bit of that. I need some of that. I need some of that energy. And yeah, it's part and parcel of being traumatized, actually. And I think this is why I think why people who are already traumatized end up in these situations is because when you are somebody who has, you know, is trying to keep everybody calm around you. So one of the biggest signs of trauma is like trying to keep everybody happy and, you know, trying to avoid conflict by preempting people's needs. And I think that very easily gets spotted by people who want to take something from you.
Yeah.
And it's a pattern that just repeats and repeats and repeats. It's like, if you've been in an abusive relationship, you have to be very careful to not end up in another abusive relationship because you don't want to end up in that situation again. You like really want to keep that other person happy, and then you realize 6 months in that you've done all the giving and all the compromising and all the bits, and then when you can't do that anymore, it's like, well, what's going on? So one of the things that I really like most about it is that there wasn't any blame.
Mm-mm.
Because he didn't always discourage her. I mean, I'm not saying that by any stretch of
imagination. He enjoyed the ego stroke.
I don't think it was enjoy. I think he needed it. Like, he needed to be told that he wasn't a bad person.
I needed the ego boost, so I allowed it to happen. So he did enjoy it a little bit.
I don't think that's the same as enjoying it, but I think it filled a need in him. He needed to know. I don't even think it was enjoy. I think he needed it. He needed the ego boost because his ego was zero at that point. You know, the person that believed in him was grooming him. It wasn't that he believed in him as a writer or as a performer. He was grooming him.
He just needed a personal connection.
He just needed a connection. And he needed to be in charge after losing, because he lost his control in the worst way possible. Like, he lost control of a situation in the grimmest way possible. And I think there was a part of him that was like, I want to be in control. I need to have somebody who thinks I'm brilliant to the point where it's actually made them a little bit mad.
Mm.
It's the same reason like people in relationships, people that like them more than, you know, they like, you know, who with people who like them more than they do, because it's like that ego stroking thing. I fell prey to that. I've fell prey to that before, like people who like I like a lot more than they like me, because it's like, yeah, I make them feel good about themselves, but they don't always make me feel good about myself. So I like the way there wasn't much blame on her. Like, he was like, yeah, she's obviously not very well. And I also liked the bit about it was about men's mental health as well, and like talking, and like, he was so scared of what his dad would think, and it's turned out his dad has been through exactly the same thing.
I love that bit. That little bit of great acting where he just cuddles him and he cries and you know he's been through the same thing.
Well, no, he said, I grew up in the Catholic Church. Like, yeah,
so he's seen it.
That's all you need to know. He's experienced it, no doubt.
So, and that bit is some of the, like, just giving him a cuddle. That was, like, powerful. You didn't need to say any more than that. It's just brilliant. It's one of the, it's the best British show of the year so far. I think.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
If it doesn't get a BAFTA, then BAFTA can suck a dick. I'm sorry. BAFTA needs to give this or a BAFTA of some kind.
Well, I'm not enjoying as much as the people on the internet trying to work out her real identity.
Don't do it.
Don't do that. You don't want that person to know who you are. And
this
vice versa.
The problem with the internet. There's always witch hunts going on. I just hate this side of the internet. And I don't really think that's your provoker. Like,
you don't need to know Martha's real name.
No, it's not important.
It's not important. It's not important to the story. And do you really want to wake her up from wherever she's slumbering?
Yeah. Her real name is most probably Karen, because as we came across last week, Karen is a really bad name.
Anyway. Yeah, hashtag not all Karens. But
not all Karens, but most Karens. Hashtag most 99% of Karens. All right.
I just think it was really brave. It was really clever. It was really nuanced. Like, everybody who behaved badly, you didn't know much about her other than that she was lonely, right? You couldn't, and she had a history of all this. So there was never any, I think a lot of the time in these things, people want to know why somebody does something. It has to be like a very easy explanation as to why this person is like that. And I don't think life's that simple. Like, I think that people who are like the stalker in this thing are like that for many reasons, and it's never just one thing. It's a perfect storm. And I think if they'd had like a bit of her dad leaving her on a doorstep somewhere holding on a teddy bear, like,
we don't need to know why she's like that. One thing, sorry to interrupt you, but for me, the bit, because like she turns up in the weirdest things, and when you think it's coming, like things are, like, it's like a horror movie. Like, I feel worn down going through it, watching it with him, because I'm fearing for where she's going to turn up, what she's going to do next. And you legitimately, the people I've spoken to about this, because everyone's talking about this show, everyone feels like they're him. Like, you just generally don't know what you would do in that situation. You're generally feeling worn down watching it. I wouldn't say the word enjoy is the word to use it. I would say survived it. Yeah. I feel like I've been through something with him. Like, you know what I mean? It doesn't feel like I enjoyed it. I mean his comedy is shit, by the way. But basically...
let's not do that.
Let's do that. No, but my main point is he's amazingly talented. He directed this as well. He's edited it. I mean, this guy is like that. I want to see what he's going to do next when it isn't personal. I think he can put something amazing in the next one together as well. I just feel the bit at the bus stop, I mean, let's look how messed up his life is. He's trying to hide that he isn't too sure if he can show people that he's dating a trans woman. He's living with his ex-girlfriend's mother's house. He's working in a pub. He's been stalked. There is a lot, and then there's episode 4. He's dealing with that. Now you understand why he's so cautious around where we find him like he is in episode 1. That is a lot. That is one of the most complicated characters I have seen in many a year in a TV show. And you not once do you hate him. He is a understandable human being. Her being at the door, her just finding her way in all the time, finding him where he is, finding his phone, he could be happy, then all of a sudden she snaps back into his life. Just a constant jeering at him. I did find it funny at first when he started to use her to make the audience laugh at his jokes.
Yeah.
But then you're poking the beast. And by the way, it confirms one thing, police are shit.
Yeah. No, I mean, stalking is something that's very insidious. Like, I think most of the time people do things that on paper don't sound bad. So, you know, what is she doing? Well, she stood outside my house. Well, are you sure she's not waiting for the bus? Yes, I'm sure, but she could be waiting for the bus, right? So it's always like, she sent me some emails. Well, you're a public figure, like, you're a comedian, don't you want your fans you know all these things that can be explained away. And I think if you've ever been stalked, it's like there's that sense of, is this bad? Am I making this up? Like, does this make me feel weird for a reason? Or am I just like overreacting? And I got that sense from it as well.
Troy, what do you think?
Oh, man. It's a lot. It's, at least you watch it only one day. I was back to back. I was It was a ride, I'll say that. It was a ride.
I had beers while I was watching this as well. And
I had beers. Oh my gosh. Help.
I was having a few beers watching this in 3 hours. Weesh. Desperate.
Oh man. I was like, the humor was in there as well as like breaking up some of this.
You need it in there, otherwise it's really.
It needs to be done because it was some very dark themes in the show. It's crazy, man.
Constantly needed the humor.
I was like, my God,
it wouldn't work without the humor because you do need some levity in there, much needed.
Stuff like what he did with the this is on the house when he's at the bar. That's what sets it kind of off the chain of events. Kind of happens. I'm like, I felt to myself like I worked in a shop, so I probably did the same thing at one point as well. I'm like, if that could happen to me, that could happen to anyone. It's like, it happened to me. I'm like, yeah, just take it. Don't worry about it.
Because
Ben, you know where we worked.
It could happen in my current job as anywhere. Well, which is the scariest thing. Thank God it's never happened to me, but one day it could happen.
Well, you guys worked in supermarkets, didn't you? So, if somebody's stealing a loaf of bread from a supermarket, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I ain't seen nothing.
You go grab it, bruv. You need it more than me, obviously.
Yeah, it's just where it's.
If you're hungry, I ain't seen that. I ain't seen you do nothing.
It's just a little bit of human decency sometimes. You don't know what they're going through, so you're like, go for it.
Yeah, that's what happens. It's say off but, and then.
Current job, we work with vulnerable people, so I hope to God that never happens to me, ever.
Probably not me, yeah.
Because, you know, well, what me and Helen's job involves is working with vulnerable people, and I just wonder, sometimes you spend a lot of time talking to people, and I hope to God that I never have to help somebody, one of my staff or myself through that, where that would happen. Because there is an attachment sometimes, and it made me think about my job. That's the bit that hit me the most is mental health as well. And it just made me go, what would I do in a situation if this happened in my workplace? How would I deal with this? And the bit at the end where he goes to the bar, forgets his wallet, and the guy gives it to him, free him in the house. I'm like,
such a good end.
And you know what he's going to do after that? You're like, oh.
The thing is, he's not doing it clearly because he's progressing with a play. TV, he's doing fine, but there is that bit of, oh god, he could have gone down that. He could have got, if you don't know the background of this show, if you don't know that the guy playing the guy is him, you would think that he had gone back down. He could have gone down the road of following her after that.
Yeah, Martha's route. Yeah,
because he does get really fascinated by her. So there is a bit where you're thinking, oh son. Don't turn into her, Mark II. You're just praying at the end. Like, don't turn into her. This fascination. It's like Batman and the Joker. It was.
Yeah. All the things on the wall.
You know what it reminds me of? Hannibal Lecter and the chick from Silence of the Lambs. That relationship where there's like this fascination with
Paris.
Stockholm syndrome. This is what it is. That's what it turns into at one point. Really
or I think it's probably more like Will Graham and Hannibal Lecter in Hannibal, that kind of obsession.
Obsession.
Yeah, I mean, most people are stopped by people that they know, like, quite well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it's interesting. What I found really interesting was to see him have to take the kind of precautions that women take most of the time. Like, that was interesting for me, like that, you know, not being too nice to people, not trying not to give people the wrong idea, all of that stuff. It was interesting.
It's a reversal flip already. But the thing is,
most women, when they know, when they go to the police, they wouldn't even bother going to the police because they get a reaction. But men are like, well, I'm a man and this crime has happened to me. I'm going to go to the police. And it's always just a lot more shocking to them, I think.
They're more shocked, yeah, because they're not sure. Because when he did it, the policeman looked surprised, like, He looked a bit like Matt Lucas with hair. It was kind of off-putting.
Somebody else said that, actually.
I thought it was Matt Lucas, but it's clearly not Matt Lucas. But you could tell like the acting was insane because he was like, I don't know how to talk about this because I'm a guy. And I totally understand where you've come from with that. Because he clearly doesn't, he's a man. We're not meant to be out. We're not meant to be, we're not used to this situation. We're men. We go punch the guy in the face. You know, this is how men are meant to behave traditionally. We go and have a boxing match. Pick up a chair and smack them across the face with it.
But like, yeah. what's a wee little woman?
But she's a force of nature. She's dangerous. That's what they get across really well in the bar with the trans girlfriend. And then when he attacks her again, that really tense scene. Yeah, it's just she's frightening, and the laws in this country are too lax, and police should be ashamed of themselves because this is why this stuff happens.
Well, we know, yeah, it's the biggest precursor to murder being stalked. Like, if somebody's stalking you, it's very likely that they're going to harm you.
Or you're going to harm them, and you're getting trouble.
Yeah. The law just hasn't caught up yet.
Because you're defending yourself. And it's like why I said earlier about a farmer defending his house. Yeah. I think that's absolutely ridiculous. If you're a burglar, you should get your ass kicked. Obviously, don't kill, but you cannot have a go at somebody in protecting their home in normal life. I obviously, murder is murder. Don't do that. But if you can just incapacitate them, break a leg, knock them out without killing them, and you can get away, I think you're allowed to punch them.
There's parts of the world, though, if you can shoot somebody on your own land and not be arrested, and people just murder people and then drag them into their garden. Like, it's... You can't start making distinctions like that.
But it's like, I don't like the rules in this country. If you come in my house, I'm going to whoop you.
Yeah, whoop them.
I'm going to whoop you. I'm not going to kill you. You might die accidentally, but it will be self-defense. But you try and come in my house, I don't care what the rules say, I will whoop you blind.
No, bro, it's a wrap, boy. You're going down. Simple as that.
You're going down. I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to make sure you know that you've made a mistake. You're going in a hospital, at least. You're not going in the grave.
Yeah, they ain't walking. They're walking out of the house. It's simple as that. They ain't walking out there.
I might even break a leg, bro. I will make sure you're crippled and so that you can't get away. But I'm not going to kill you. I'll break your fucking leg. I'll baseball bat you in the leg. You won't be. I've got a metal baseball bat. You'll be crippled. What are you going to do on the floor?
Make sure you keep a baseball with it, though. So if your house does get raided, you can see it's actual baseball.
I have a baseball.
Well. No, but like a ball that goes with a baseball bat.
I do.
Good. Excellent work.
Yeah. And I think this country is ridiculous with its rules. So anyway.
But I also think as well, though, there is an element of not wanting, you know, I'm trying to talk very carefully because I don't want to give too much away. But when I've been in positions like this, similar to this, not exactly like this before, I didn't want the person that was doing it. I didn't want them to get into trouble. Like, I didn't want them to be unduly punished for it. Because, you know, at one point, police are ineffectual and not a lot of help a lot of the time. But sometimes, you know, people in their custody have a little fall down the stairs and bad things happen. So it's like, it's a tough one. Especially with the way that the Met is going at the moment, and I don't think that's bad of me to say. Like, I think that's common knowledge.
Yeah.
Not so good with the keeping women safe in particular, but yeah. We need to. Yeah. I think a lot more of the police need to be informed of how stalking affects people and what it means and how dangerous it actually is and how quickly it can escalate.
Mm. I mean, everybody's had that moment where somebody's coming after you anyway, cause something got said. I mean, that's already a horrible feeling. I've seen people like start a fight and then run away, and you can see how terrified they are. That's already terrifying as it is. Now, imagine if that was all the time. That bit where you're getting away on a tube or circle or bus to get away from them to get out of there. Now, imagine if they knew where you live and stuff. Now, that is like 24/7. That would be even worse. We've all had that moment. We've had to flee from somewhere because somebody wants something. Tried to mug you, for example, and you just get out of there. That's everybody can, I think most people can identify with that feeling of that threat. So it's just kind of, this is how he felt in this show, Baby Reindeer. And I just kind of feel like stalking is it's just the fact that it's a guy by a woman, and he doesn't take it seriously at first. And I don't think anyone around him, like the pub landlord, the pub manager, doesn't take it seriously. They all think it's funny.
Well, this happens a lot when men are victims of domestic violence as well. Like, they'll be like, yeah, my girlfriend did this. They'll be like, what, big guy like you? Exactly. You know, and it gets belittled an awful lot. And yeah, like, I know people that have gone to report their partners for stuff, and the policemen have just gone, well, what, it's not going to look like, first question everybody's going to ask is, how big is she and how big are you? And then that'll be it, won't it? And it's like, okay, there's not a lot that can be done.
It made me realise that there's not a lot of protection for men if this was to happen, if they were to be rough rided by a woman. And it's something you never think about as a guy, because you just don't think it's going to happen to you. It's just...
I know people it's happened to. And it's like, they've done the bare minimum to defend themselves, and yeah, they've gone, the woman's gone to the police.
It's just like... It's most probably, when are the BAFTAs this year?
I think we just had them, haven't we?
Well, that's a shame, because
might have to be next year.
Next year, Baby Reindeer needs to be taking all the BAFTAs home. Like, I think it's going to be difficult to find something that good for 2020, like the rest of the year, to beat. It's going to be, I defy any British show to get near that for 2024.
Oh, yeah. I don't think we're going to get any better than that. Apart from this, I think the very last episode of Inside Number 9 might just edge it, but we'll see.
I'm trying to think of the last time a British show knocked me on my ass this hard. And I
may destroy you.
Yeah, maybe that. Like, it's dealing with some stuff. Like, that may be the last time a show has actually knocked me on my ass in a visceral way. Not like a comedy, but like a proper... the subject matter, you're like, oh, okay, all right, we're going to be...
Before that, it was the episode of Cucumber where the guy got killed by the other guy with the baseball, with the golf club, if you remember. Did you watch Cucumber?
I've never watched it, but that's not a spoiler, because I don't know who you're talking about. So that
there you go. Yeah, watch
that's
it.
That's a good spoiler, because I don't know who you're talking about. It could literally be anyone. So
that episode will get you, though, I promise you, if you ever watch it.
Yeah, that's a non-spoiler in some ways, because that's going to be a punch in the face when that happens. Anyway, I think we've touched Baby Reindeer enough.
Let's not use the word touched, please.
Oh, I think we have touched on it. That's better now. Touched on is better. Touched on it. I think we've spoken about it enough. So, should we talk about something else?
Yeah, all right.
Let's crack some jokes, because we can't really crack some jokes. I mean, I got the best joke about how Scottish people act in London, and that is really the only joke I'm comfortable making, because they're both Scottish. That's all I can make, because after that, I'm not making any jokes about the rest of this show. I can't.
Well, he comes from a town about 5 miles away from where I grew up, basically. So I already know enough about him, because there's only one secondary school that he could have possibly gone to, which is very weird. But my local paper is talking about, like, local boy Richard Gadd, and it's just very funny, because my local hometown local paper very famously talked about two Scottish men dead on the Titanic rather than all the hundreds and thousands of people.
They're only covering the Scots.
The only, not even the Scots, like, it was like people that were local to my hometown. Hilarious. I do love a bit of local news.
Great show. I haven't watched a full season in a long time. One day, that was crazy.
That's most probably the best way to watch it, because it hits you harder. And it's half an hour episodes. If it was an hour long, I wouldn't have done it. But since there was like 25, 30-minute episodes mostly, I looked at it and went, right. Because they advertised it heavily. And I think I started watching it before asking anybody what it was like. And I just thought, right, this is number one. This is British. I saw it. I went, right, I'm going to watch this. This looks a bit weird because the trailer doesn't really give anything away. And it's like Saltburn. You know what? This is the second time this year I've come out of something and like, I just need to just hug my wife or like just say hi to people, be a bit nicer to other people. It's really good for that, actually.
Yeah. I don't know if I need a hug, a drink, or a cigarette, or yes, all of them.
I want to do.
Hug someone while drinking and smoking.
Oh,
right. So, what have you guys been watching besides all that?
Well, you've done my main pick, which would have been Baby Reindeer, but I started watching Extraordinary this week. Have you guys heard of that?
Yes, it's on my list. I saw it on. Is it iPlayer?
I'm watching it on Disney Plus.
Oh, I have not seen it then.
It's about, I don't know if it's the future or it's an alternative reality, but it is definitely British London.
London. Superpowers. Yeah.
Yes, and everybody gets superpower on their 18th birthday.
This is on British, this is on ITV. So ITV are showing it.
Oh, here. Cool.
So I'm going to watch it. That's where I've heard it from. Yes, please talk about it.
So yeah, everybody's in, but the twist is our main character does not have her power yet, and she's like 23, 24, so she doesn't know what it is. I'm hoping that they're not going to do a Misfits and make her power invincibility, and she doesn't find out until she's dead. But I don't think they'll do the same thing twice. But basically, yeah, it's this woman who it starts out with her having a job interview with somebody who can tell what her emotions are. So she's like, well, I can tell that you're lying. And basically, yeah, it goes on to about her life in a flat with her flatmate who can speak to dead people. Or she doesn't even, she can't speak to dead people. She can speak for dead people. So she can summon up the voices of the dead. And she works at a solicitor's office where there's, and she settles will disputes. That's her job. So in the first episode, it's like, I told the Scarecrow she wasn't getting anything. Leave me the fuck alone. I want to go back to sleep. and so, yeah, basically, it's her living in this flat. Her dating life is shit. Like, she sleeps with a guy who literally flies out of the window rather than have a conversation with her.
That's been the joke about Superman. I've seen YouTube videos of people making that where Lewis then wants to talk about having a baby. He's like, gotta go, crime fighting. Off he goes.
So she's like talking to him from the toilet and he's already gone. But yeah, so I've only watched the first three episodes, but it's really funny so far.
It's not with British TV this year.
The main premise is that the main woman is trying to find her superpower, basically. So she finds out that there's this service that you can use that helps you find it, but she hasn't got any money, and that then becomes the plot. So yeah, it's really fun. There's a cat called Jizz Lord in it. What more do you want?
Why do you think
this but some is... of the superpowers are really funny as well. Like, so there's a guy that can turn anything into a PDF with his mind.
What?
And there's amazing. A woman who's magnetic but not all the time.
The PDF.
There's a guy that can make women orgasm if he touches them, and he won't touch her. Like, she goes on a date with him,
so and he's like, it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's just got some really stupid powers in there. Like, her mum can, work electric things, but because she's a mum, she doesn't know how to do it. So she just spends her whole time waving her hand at the television rather than moaning about not being able to use the remote control. God. Her mum is played by the Sister Michael from Derry Girls as well. So.
Oh, brilliant. So basically it's Misfits with shitter powers, which is hilarious. I love the sound of it. Why do you think British television is having such a strong year, though? There's like, I'm looking at the shows I've spoken about today. There's a lot of good stuff right now coming out of this country.
Solid.
It's been a good year this year so far for British television, and it's going to get better. Doctor Who's looking really good. One Inside Number 9's on the way back in. And The Gentleman. I've heard really good things about The Gentleman. I've not even got to that yet. And that's apparently really good as well.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I think a lot of stuff that started development during COVID is now coming to fruition.
Yeah.
We're killing it this year.
That would be my guess. Like, a lot of things that people were beginning when they were stuck in the house are now actually being made because they're really good concepts. And yeah, we've got the time and the space to do them now. And I think we're trying to get a lot of new voices as well, because I think the film industry is going a bit stale, if I'm honest.
I think new blood's coming through. I think it's an exciting time.
Nobody needs another superhero reboot.
No, we're not doing that. That's the problem with America. We're not doing that here. We are pumping out original stuff. It feels like America's really stuck in remakes and franchises. Well, we're pumping out original stuff. And this UK TV is killing it in 2024 is the name of this podcast. It's not going to be a snarky one this time. It's going to be like a celebration, I think, this week of British TV.
I don't need another cinematic universe. Thanks very much.
I think we're done. Enjoy this year, because it's meant to be Disney free except for Deadpool. I'm enjoying it. It's going to be dead quiet. So, what else have you been watching?
I think that's me for today. I'm going to keep that as my recommendation. I think, I've not really been watching anything else, if I'm honest.
What about you, Troy? Then take us home.
The only thing I watched was Fallout, 3 episodes of it.
I watched the first episode of this.
Yeah.
And
what do you think?
I think I'm not the biggest fan. I've played a bit of Fallout. I wouldn't say I'm a mega fan, but it looks like Fallout. And okay. I've played Fallout 3 only. I've not played any other Fallout game, so I wouldn't say I'm a mega fan. But I just went, wow. Now, this, I don't know what's happening to video games now. It feels like with UK TV, they're just kind of all of a sudden, they're putting some respect on video games.
Yeah, damn right they are.
They're just doing it right. And Halo was not done well. It's still a bit 50-50, but there's now more good. There's now just as much as good stuff as there is bad stuff. Mm. Halo, don't take the helmet off, Master Chief. What are you doing?
I like Halo, but the season 2 is really good. I'll say that. Season 2 of Halo is really good.
Okay, that's good to hear. But what I'm saying is, you've had your Resident Evil. That didn't go well. It's like with anime live app. It's like with the live action anime. Them and video games. I think Helen will know enough as well. They're not normally that good. But I've seen a good Tomb Raider movie recently. The reboot one's not bad. And Super Mario was Super Mario. It was perfect. And the film critics didn't get that. It wasn't meant to be a good movie. It's just meant to be like the video game, which is exactly what people wanted. And it was amazing for that. It's literally a Super Mario movie. It's not going to be 5 stars. It's exactly what we wanted. It's what you haven't made any alterations. Fallout, I have only got one complaint. Too much 60s music in the background, though. It's a bit annoying. Every 5 seconds, there's another 60s song. I get it certainly.
What's it like in the game, the music? What's it like in the soundtrack?
It's not like that. It's very rare you have music. So the problem is, every 5 seconds in the background, there's a new... Because obviously, Helen doesn't know what a Fallout is, most probably. So it's basically,
I know what Fallout is, but
so 1960s America gets nuked, and then like 2,000 years later, they come out of vaults and stuff, and the surviving humanity then have to fight off irradiated animals and bugs and shit. But the music is all 60s set, so it's really good at first, but it's all lazy soundtracks. Always just fill it with lazy soundtracks, I find. And I think that's the one thing where it's just like every 5 seconds there's another 60 song. It's like, can we just stop? Can you just bring an orchestra in for a second? I know it's 60 set, bro, but do some orchestration. It's trying too hard with the music. But besides that, I really love it. I love the acting. I love the characters. It looks like the Fallout series. So well done.
It's really good. Walton Goggins on there as the I can't say too much because he hasn't seen the other episodes. I can't say too much. Walton Goggins, great as always. Great kicking off the episode, in the backstory, and there's more backstory to come. You're gonna see why, but I ain't gonna say too much because Ben hasn't seen the rest of it. It's really good. Those first 3 episodes, solid. and my girl from Yellow Jackets, hooking up as well. Yes. Ella Purnell. The round eyes. Love myself for Ella Purnell. I love Ella Purnell. There's the main character, the lead in this show. She's really good as the future, you know what I'm saying, future star in this show. Yeah. In the vault.
So natural. It like what happens in the vault without spoiling it is incredible. Yeah. I was just like, whoa, I know what that is. But I've not seen it in the game.
Hey, I've never touched the game. I've never touched it. Ben's got more experience with the game. I haven't touched the game.
Yeah, but even like, I was like, okay, find the father, which is every Fallout game. Fine, okay. But like, I was really impressed with it. They've made a female character who is got, and get ready for it, Troy, a woman character who is strong but makes mistakes and learns to grow during the series. She's not a perfect woman. She is a strong woman, but she learns and she's lovable and she's really cool.
She's not Mary Sue, guys. She's not Mary Sue.
She has a journey to get better. That is the peak of writing.
She's a great lead. I've got to admit, she's a great lead. She's a great lead.
We won't be doing this. We're gonna keep.
But yeah, Amazon Fallout. Yeah, eight episodes. I've only seen three.
Helen should watch it.
Yeah, check it out. Helen will like it. Helen will like it.
Oh, my husband's watching it. I told him he can watch it without me. So.
Hey, no, you should watch it.
I'll stop in there and watch it.
Best female writing I've seen. It's like character development. You can tell there's women on the staff, but they've done a great job because she's got a journey, and I love that because it means I'm going to grow it with the character and form a bond with her. And I love that bit. When you've got a flawed character that learns the journey, I am going to go on that journey with them. I can't wait. It's going to be great. I love Fallout. It's so cool. She's so such a great actress. It's surrounded by great actors. Loved it. Great direction. Let's go. It's all positive this week. We haven't watched a random thing. Look at this. And Doctor Who and Inside Number 9 are going to add to the party soon. And I've got Space Babies, episode 1. Let's go.
Space Babies.
I love his enthusiasm already. We need that after the last couple of Doctors. We haven't had it since Matt Smith. We haven't had a proper joyful Doctor since Matt Smith, I think. Like a proper, this is my spaceship. Woo! You know, Capaldi was brilliant, but grumpy. Whittaker was just Whittaker. Don't know what the hell Whittaker was meant to be. And David Tennant was a more down, less 10, different Doctor, very more mature. 15. Let's go, baby, new buddy. Let's go and have some fun again. Let's get back in that TARDIS and go. I can't wait for Shooty Gatwa, man. I've not been this excited since Capaldi joined. I'm so excited. It's going to be a new energy to Doctor Who,
bro. It's going to be different. We're going to see how it's going to go. We're going to check it out. It's going to be solid. It's going to be solid. I got a feeling it's going to be good.
Crazy. Right, so we're going to wrap it up because Helen's about to face plant on her laptop.
So you can't
hear her snoring. She snores.
I don't anymore. Sorry. Not since
That's fine. Your husband will be happy. He can sleep. That's great. Does he snore?
Yeah.
Well, then you just need to kick him until he readjusts his sleeping position. Right.
Thank you for the tip. Yeah, it's fine. I can't sleep without it anymore. It's a little little rumble in the background.
It's like a reverse of, you know, when you kickstart a bike to start rumbling, like snoring, you did a reverse to your husband, just kick him to stop. But you stop a bike.
Behave.
He's going.
Oh, your husband's awesome.
Yeah,
it's what I used to do to my brother when we used to live. Like, I used to kick my brother if he was, because we shared rooms. He used to snore, used to punch him, and then he stopped. So he used to readjust and go,
that'll do it.
Just a real knuckle sandwich him in the chest. Anyway, so would you like to haul yourself, Troy? Don't know why. Going up. Right now. Hey, 30 years ago now.
Legend of All 101, the reviews, reaction, pop culture stuff. Check me out over there. Like, share, subscribe. And you know what to do on Square Hour Syndrome. Follow us on Spotify. Let's go.
Yeah, you know what to do. I don't need to tell you. I tell you every week and nobody ever does it. So you know where to find us.
And there's a Facebook group. You also know what to do there. Not that, you know, it's up to you. So we'll be back next week. I don't know if Tara will be here again because of time differences, but we will have her back the week after that. Because,
we shall see.
It's difficult. It's time difference. But anyway, so it's goodbye for me.
Goodbye for me.
Bye-bye.
This is a wrestling thing. So you're telling me that AEW had security backstage footage of who attacked Willow, right? We learned last week that they keep security footage. So that's inconsistency, Tony Khan. You suck.